And I wonder, Justice, let's let this chap explain it. Oh, he's in audio.
Is booting up our phone. So this is a Samsung Galaxy S2, but we've taken the Android off the phone, and this is now just running the web directly. This is one of the projects we've been working on at Mozilla for about a year, and I'd like to walk you through some of the basic features. So what you're looking at here is a web page. There's no native application. So when I get that screen out of the way, you can see an app launcher. It looks not unlike a lot of other smartphones, except that everything you're seeing is the web. In fact, if you're a developer, you can even see the source code. This is all just HTML and CSS and JavaScript, the stuff we've been building the web out of for years. You get the features you'd expect from a smartphone, so I can flip through photos in my photo gallery. I can even play full motion video of little pandas. A lot of stuff in here that you haven't typically seen in the web, things that didn't used to be possible. So perhaps most importantly, I can dial the phone. Web pages didn't used to be able to dial the phone. But we looked at the state of smartphones out there and we said, you know, it's only a couple of things we have to add to the web to make it possible to run the entire phone top to bottom using only web technologies.
Pretty cool, right? So it's now possible using HTML5 to create fully featured, rich applications and operating systems. And pretty much everything that's ever been programmed can now be programmed on the web. Which means that fragmentation that we had before, you know, with The Guardian as an example, but which we're seeing at the moment in television, with, you know, having to create an app for every single different version of the Samsung television, and, you know, having to code for the Apple TV. It means that in the future, when the browser really gets onto television, because it has to. We can't go on coding all these different things and, you know, coding just for iPad owners, you know, and just for iPhone users. It's not right, you know? Like, if you want to create a digital experience, you want to create your product, you want to broadcast. Television's about broadcasting, isn't it? And how can you possibly broadcast to, you know, just tablet owners? It's not broadcasting. But the web gives us that. The web gives us an ability to broadcast to every single device that's got a web browser. And currently, you know, browsers on televisions are pretty rubbish. We all hoped that Apple were going to release a new TV and that it was going to revolutionize things. And my money was on it having a web browser and doing it through that. But it hasn't happened yet. Maybe it will happen. We met Nick in the taxi on the way here, and we're talking about this. And one of the problems is that television is, you know, if you buy a TV and you don't often buy a new one, you know, it takes a while to do it. So at the moment, browsers on televisions aren't very good, you know? Who's got a telly? How good's the web browser? It's rubbish, isn't it? You know, like the PlayStation built-in browser, that's rubbish. You know, you're sort of doing it jerkily with the kind of key and trying to like type things in by like clicking along the row and doing thing, and it's not good, you know? Like the browser experience on telly isn't very good at the moment. But it has to get better, because otherwise we're doomed to a world of, you know, fragmentation and massive expense and having to know Java and Objective-C and all these different programming languages, and it's just not a world really which can go on for too much longer. I'm sure it will. But when we've got the technology ready, you know, when HTML is now capable of doing all these things in concert with CSS and with JavaScript, you know, we'd be mad not to aim for a world where we have got browser consistency. So because of all this, it's clear to see why Flash died on the web. Because there's no need for it anymore. You know, on the traditional web, on, you know, the desktop web, and now on mobile phones as well, you don't need Flash to do it. You can do all the cool stuff that Flash did in HTML5 with CSS and JavaScript. Let's have a look at an example of, because we started out with a news website, we started out looking at The Guardian. Let's have a look at an example of a news website that uses these technologies. This is the Boston Globe. And this was designed by a team of designers, one of whom was called Ethan Marcotte, and he wrote a book called Responsive Web Design. And it's about using HTML5 and CSS3, specifically a CSS3 feature called a media query, where you're querying the device that's viewing it and you're serving it a different design based on that device, that device's properties. So rather than me trying to give a gaveled explanation, let's see it in see how it actually works. So if we resize this down, it's being fed a different set of design instructions for every resolution. So you can kind of see that would be maybe a good Kindle, you know, a good layout for a Kindle. And it goes all the way down, until you've got the version that you get on mobile. And if we actually have a look at it on mobile. Ooh. Hang on, bear with me. You see on the iPhone, you're getting the exact same site. So it's honoring that foundational principle of the web. One document at one URL. It's not breaking the web. And for the developers, yes, there was an awful lot of investment that went into, you know, the information architecture and the actual design process, but now it's done, and now it works, and now it's future-proof. Any device that views this is going to be, you know, a certain pixel resolution, and there's going to be one specified for that resolution. And if you scale it up to a TV, then, you know, there it is, on a massive TV, it looks fine. Well, not fine, but, you know, you'd have to... Yeah, maybe there's going to be, you know, pinching on tablets that complements it, but we'll see. So in terms of television, I see that as the next step. We've got these four screens, you know, smartphone, tablet, desktop, and TV. And at the moment, the three screens have done this, and it's possible to create, you know, compelling digital experiences that work on all of them. With the same code, crucially. And I think this is where television is going to have to go to make the world an easier place to live in. So today, where are we today? Well, we've seen we've got multiple devices, and we've kind of looked at what that means, but it's only going to increase in the future. There's only going to be more and more devices in the future. We've also got this thing, the rise of APIs. So we saw just before, we've seen all of these the new HTML5 APIs, so getting user media from the camera, geolocation, you know, getting access to the device's GPS. All of these things are exposed via APIs. And for the non-tech savvy among us, which I know isn't many, an API really manifests itself to a developer as a series of instructions on how to use a given platform or service. The platform or service basically says, you know, this is what you can do with our data. These are the rows and columns you can have access to. Let's say it's the Tesco club card. That's a bad example. Let's say it's Facebook, and you want access to the user's friends. You know, this is how you do it. And actually, we at Decoded see this as almost Web 3.0. The idea that APIs nowadays are really nice and easy to read. Before, you had to, you know, dig through like reams and reams of technical jargon. If you wanted to go and read a specification for a new feature, let's say it was the geolocation API for getting everything. But the actual API, because it's from the W3C, the standards body to publish HTML and CSS and JavaScript standards, it's really dry and technical. But stuff like Facebook and Twitter, when they publish their APIs of how you should integrate their services, it's really nice. It's really easy. It's really kind of accessible. You don't have to be, you know, someone in their pants who's like, you know, a little bit kind of ACDC, not ACDC. What do I mean?
ADD.
I don't know. A little bit kind of like obsessive, whatever it is. To read it, you can actually just kind of come in and be like, okay, I'm going to developers.facebook.com. I want to hack the graph. Great. How do I do that? You know, you get started or learn more, and you come in and it walks you through it. And this is coding. Just coming and reading the instructions. So you come in like, okay, what can I do with this? I can click add a timeline, turn to an open graph action, and publish it to the newsfeed ticker of these. Fantastic! That looks quite a cool feature. And then you carry on and you go through and it gives you a quick tutorial. And using your existing knowledge of how HTML and CSS and JavaScript fit together. Which, if we've got time, I'll go into more details. I don't think we covered that properly. But then we've only got an hour, so we'll try. But it gives you example code. So you come in there and you try it. If it doesn't work the first time, it doesn't work. You know, you try again. But it's standing on the shoulder of the giants. Facebook have said this is how you do it, so this is how it works. But it's possible to plug anything into anything on the web using these APIs. So